Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's a midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Ashley Sullivan joins the show coming up at noon today. We'll unpack the end of the Flyer season. What's next? Should be a very interesting offseason. I saw some quotes from Michkov talking today, so we'll unpack that with Ashlyn and where this team goes next after a really promising end to their 2025-26 season. All right, that's coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls on both Daryl Morey and of course, Jalen Hurts here. Do you expect a new Hurts? Some good reports. Jeremy Fowler saying he's embracing the new offense working here with Sean Mannion. He's throwing himself fully into it. Do you believe we're going to see a brand new Hurts this year? Hugh Douglas does.
Yes.
I need to see it to believe it. I think he'll buy in. I think he will give his effort. We'll just see if he can do it in practicality when the game start and kind of take away all those years of playing one way and playing a whole different way now. We shall see. All right, before we get there, though, a little hypothetical, Hugh, for you.
Hypothetical.
Okay.
Hypothetical.
A little hypothetical about, let's say, Joel Embiid and his future here. Now, we know it's going to be challenging. In fact, before we get into it, let's talk about the challenge of moving Embiid. Brian Windhorst on ESPN was talking about Joel Embiid and talking about his future in Philadelphia. Can we hear Brian Windhorst, Kyle, about Joel's future and where it goes from here?
Well, let me say that I do think this was a success because they beat the Celtics in that first round series with the comeback. Embiid was awesome. They hadn't beaten the Celtics in 40 plus years. It's a little bit worrying to hear him say we came into the season thinking he was about done, considering he has 3 years and $192 million left on his contract, which is a new extension, which will begin next season. And that is why I can promise him he will definitely be back. He is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. The Sixers do have a couple of free agents, Kelly Oubre, Quentin Grimes, that they have to deal with. But, you know, with him and Paul George locked into enormous salaries, this is going to be a team that's going to mostly have these guys next season.
That enormous word really hurts.
Yeah,
enormous.
Yeah. He kept it a bean, though. Enormous salary.
All right, let me ask you a hypothetical, because I think we're on the same page with Morey that we would both move on from Morey, but you think he's going to stay. I expect him to go. But all right, so we're on the same page. We would move off of Morey. Hugh Douglas, would you bring back Daryl Morey if it guaranteed you? Like if Josh Harris goes to Morey and says, Daryl, why should you keep your job? And Daryl says, Josh, before you do anything rash, I promise you I can get off Embiid this summer. I could trade him. Would you keep him? Would you keep Morey if he promised you he could dump the Embiid contract?
No.
So you'd rather have Embiid for the next 3 years than Morey?
I would rather have Embiid. I would try to figure out, like, to me, this team would be better if you let Embiid know he's probably gonna be one of the richest, most expensive part-time players.
The new Bill Walton?
Yeah,
the end of his career?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what he has to be. You got to find somebody younger that can come in and give you those minutes in that defense that he can't give you. That's what you have to find. And the thing is, I don't know how you're going to find that. You're going to find it in the draft because you don't have the money to go out and get a big name free agent. So you're going to have to find somebody like that. And that's the tough part. You know, when they were talking about this team and you're talking about these contracts that they have, it's going to be hard to upgrade this team, but that's what you're probably going to have to do.
It's going to be very hard to find that. Now, look, Tyrese Maxey was drafted around the pick that they have, their pick this year, number 22. It's not impossible. You could find a real contributor, a really good player at number 22. The odds are small, though, right? Like, most players taken that the 22nd pick in the draft don't amount to much in the NBA, let alone as impactful as you're hoping. So, all right, that's an interesting. So Hugh, would you rather keep Embiid and let go of Morey than even if Morey promised you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
You know, as much as I want to move off of Morey, and I do want to fire him today, if he did promise me he can move off of Joel Embiid's contract today, that's pretty enticing to keep him around. I mean, I would
call you gullible, because what has Morey done?
Oh, hold on.
Feel comfortable.
We're living in a hypothetical world here.
Yeah, like he promises you.
Of course it's gullible to think that. we're just saying,
I hear what you're saying, but with Daryl Morey, I mean, he hasn't really been upfront, truth-telling.
Well, I remember what did James Harden say?
He's caught him a liar. All the way in China.
Hasn't been trustworthy.
Those poor kids at that cancer are like, who's he talking
about?
Daryl Morey's a liar?
He was allergic to hypotheticals sometimes.
I know. No, I'm not allergic to it. It's just that I hear what you're saying, but with him, he sat there and tell you, hey, promise you I'll get rid of the big fella. You also promised me if I squinted my eyes really, really hard.
It's a guarantee. You're not living in the hypothetical world with us.
But
I'm walking with you.
Okay. No, still not. You got to go.
So I understand where you come from on this. If we bring a new GM in and he can't get rid of Embiid, it's going to be very hard for anyone to fix this team. I'm ready to move off of Morey because I don't want him to do any more damage. But I would consider keeping him if he promised me he can get off Embiid. Now, the problem with the problem with moving off of Embiid is the only way I could see someone taking him is if the Sixers attached first-round picks to get rid of him. And then doesn't it almost cut your nose off to spite your face? Right? Like, if you trade Embiid, but you also have to give the team you're trading him to two or three future first-round picks, you can't build around Maxey, right?
And
Edgecombe, because you don't have any picks anymore.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It really is.
You're what they call hamstrung.
Completely hamstrung, thanks to Daryl Morey, of course. Kyle, would you keep Morey if he promised you Embiid out?
You know, I don't think it's worth it.
I was just saying, I mean, the only way you'd probably be able to dump him is if you attach your own first-round picks.
I almost feel like a better scenario is get somebody else in here who we can talk ourselves into having fresh eyes or at least see this picture come together in a different way. Like, I almost think, like, look, and this is probably hopeless, and I could be delusional, but...
You are delusional.
Well, sure, but, like, say... I feel like a better case scenario is somebody can come in and convince Embiid and this team that they can work without him being the focal point. Joel Embiid can still be a contributor on a great basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't need this to be the Joel Embiid show. So, like, I would almost rather just look. Like, this is coming from a place of I know we're stuck with him,
mm-hmm.
and it's very difficult to move off him. So why not just? If they could get a different voice in here, somebody who's going to build around him better or build around Maxey Edgecombe better, whatever, that includes Embiid, Paul George, then so be it. I almost like that scenario a little bit better.
So
than keeping a general manager who I don't think has done a good enough job just to move off of one of their better players.
Yeah, and it's probably more we're talking about a short-term relief than a long-term relief, right? Because Morey would still be here in this hypothetical. The other thing to keep an eye on with the... with the Embiid thing, he has 3 years left. His contract just begins now. It's going to be very hard to find anyone that would take it. Hugh, there is a mechanism if they wait one more year, because just last summer, the Milwaukee Bucks waived, there's a stretch provision. It's almost like an NFL thing where you can cut a player, and then if you owe him for 2 years, you could stretch the money over 5 years. So last summer, now this can't happen now. I think it has to only happen when there's 2 years left or less on a deal. So there is... Hugh, there is a reality where they keep Embiid for one more year, try to trade him. If no one will take him, they stretch him if they don't want him here anymore. And that would mean instead of 2 years left, they stretch the money over five, and he really could be gone after next season.
But doesn't he have to retire?
No.
He doesn't have to retire
They could basically cut him and stretch the money. It's like an NFL mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take I guess he'd be owed, what, 125 million after this
because
season?
Because wasn't there something where they were talking about when he did the knee thing? He went and did the knee thing. If he couldn't come back, that he could like medically leave the NBA or something like that, and that
retirement or something.
Yeah, something like that, and the money wouldn't count against the cap or something like that. So that's what I thought you was talking about.
Yeah. So if you waive a player again, it can't happen yet. It could happen a year from now. Though they could waive Embiid maybe a year from now. So it doesn't have to be a trade for them to get out of it down the line.
Yeah, I guess like in this scenario, we're bringing back Daryl Morey so that he can send picks away, and Joel Embiid is essentially what we're getting at here.
Yeah, I mean it is. It is.
Go away.
So that's a how bad do you want to move off of Embiid?
I
don't want to move off him that bad.
Yeah. But I don't want Morey here either. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's
a conundrum.
Well, and Morey's got to go first because he's easier to just fire. Meanwhile, Embiid's got this huge contract. 215-592-9494. Tom in Upper Darby is up. What's up, Tom?
Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, Tom. What's up?
Hey, good. All right, you guys got to help me, and you got to synthesize my thoughts. So, I got 8 bullet points, but stop me like a 5-year-old
eight.
At the beach with cotton candy. Just let me run on by.
All right, it's like when Hugh is long talking. Well, we know when to stop you.
Yeah, but it's your guys' show. Okay, so first things first. Thank you, as always. How do you do a show every day for 4 hours? Professionally, well, I actually have an inkling because I've been in business, out of business, back in business, 58 years, so I learned some stuff, so thank you. Ton of work. Let's see. First things, Maury's not getting fired. I can explain or move on. The whole crux of my talk changed with Aaron and previous callers just because I had a whole bunch of words I was going to say. I'm like, wait a minute. I agree with what they're saying. You got to boycott. But here's the stipulation. So one man's pleasure could be another man's pain. Okay, so I want to boycott. I would. However, if I had zero money and $10 and I was able to bring my son for the first time, I'm bringing him no matter what. If they put signs up, say, this is me and my son.
Right. Tom, that's why it's hard to get an entire city, fan base, region to boycott, right? Because
That's not going to happen.
It's not. Now, if enough people start having apathy to the team, that eventually that reverberates. TV ratings go down and less people there, season ticket base goes down, but it's not going to be an all-at-once
thing.
Yeah, people
going to the Sixers.
Yeah, it'll take time for them to feel it.
Agree wholeheartedly, and therefore we can't do picks and forks and stuff they did in the wintertime. We got to send strongly worded letters to Harris, strongly worded emails and letters very kindly saying, could you please just forget about basketball and concentrate on other things?
Please stop. Yeah, we'll have Hugh write the first email to Josh Harris.
It'd be mean and scathing.
Yes.
I can do that.
Maybe I'll walk around the city and have them signed. Anyway, I'm ready to move on, but if you got...
Yeah, no, go to number two, Tom. Go ahead.
That was number
one. That was five.
That was five. Oh, thank God.
Wait, did you start with five?
I'm sorry,
all right, what number are we on now?
That's five.
God help us.
We're on five. I beg for your help. Remember I said...
Yes, I know. He did ask for our help.
No, you're good.
All right, so go to number six. What do you got at six?
Okay, so human nature is playing a big part in this. You know what I mean? That's just the hugest thing. Jalen Hurts, nature is a competitor, a winner, a kind, good soul. But 11th grade, I learned how to dunk the basketball. Oh, no, I didn't. I touched the rim. It took me all summer. And I grew 2 inches and 30 pounds. On my best day, I could never dunk my best. So, in other words, we want Jalen to be 6'10", Tom Brady. With Jalen's moves, it's impossible. So, I thank him for what he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's sure, of course. Yeah, I mean, 6'10" is a little tall, but yeah, no, I get it. We want it to be, we want it to be able to throw over the middle with rhythm and timing and anticipation.
Yep. And the last thing, real quick,
number eight.
Me versus you. I will never be as strong. On my best day, when I was about 26, 240 squatting, 350. He would laugh at me gently and say, Tom, you're a good kid, but you will never, ever, ever touch me. In a professional setting, I could never do what these guys do. So I show respect for all of them and you guys, too.
Well, Tom, we appreciate that. Tom, good phone call. So Tom went 1 through 8 there. I didn't realize we had got through 1 through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, it kind of went kind of fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe combine a few.
That's fine. Good.
Yeah. I mean, eight
Thank
bullet,
God.
I appreciate the caller that puts the bullet points together. I mean, yes. He's trying, right?
I mean, that's a lot. You got to appreciate the people that actually write down stuff before they call.
Speaking of writing down, Hugh Douglas does have a new notebook.
I got a new notebook. It's red, but it's okay. I guess red, you know.
It's a little.
Well, hold on. It's Philly season now. We're turning the page.
It's a little petite.
It's petite.
A little.
I mean, I got to write a little closer, but it's cool. It'll work.
You don't Thank seem you. In totally enthused with
I mean,
the
hey, I
beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, there it is, Kyle. So I'm okay with it. It's red, and it's okay.
Have you thought about acquiring your own notebook at the store where you can pick out whatever you want?
You buy something? Crazy question.
It's doing too much. It's doing too much.
Okay, have you written in your new notebook?
Yes.
I'm Mark Solinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly 2 decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what did you write?
You want to see what I wrote, John? You want to see what I wrote?
I'm not sure now.
I said, it's Starts with the Red Sox.
Wow!
I wrote it in blue. You see that? He said, starts with the Red Sox. Hey, I don't make mess around. This notebook is about business.
Wow.
This notebook, only thing so I hate is that
back.
I lost all my fire-ass takes.
I know. But you really, you're writing down takes?
I'll be writing out fire-ass takes.
How are you going to come up with more?
Nah, you know, I got to figure it out. I got to break the notebook in, but with these fire-ass takes.
It's like, almost like what? Give me an example. You brainstorming something?
Well, I've been brainstorming.
Yeah?
To myself,
what do you got?
Man. It was like some of these takes that I have is borderline reckless speculation and all this other stuff.
Well, we like those.
Yeah,
those
but
are good.
You know, it's a little controversial. Some of these takes I have the last
even
couple
better.
Days.
Good, good.
I went down the rabbit hole.
Good.
You know, I've been on like social media and stuff and looking at some of the
well,
stuff.
Well, that,
yeah.
Well, that's dangerous. Okay.
We told you about that.
So that's why I'm like, I got to tone it back, and then you know that explicit word that I was using last week who called to use it today. Chris used it today a little bit.
Well, you basically led everyone to do that.
Yeah, but I, you know, I'm trying to lay
you,
off.
You opened the floodgates.
Yeah, I did. So everybody's kind of using it now.
I never thought about it that you write down your takes. Like
I'm laying low.
Fire ass takes. No problem.
Fire ass takes.
Well, football season.
Oh, yeah.
See if you're fantasizing about Dak again.
Fantasizing is crazy.
Now, did you write down fantasize about Dak and just wait for the right moment to unleash it on the air?
We were talking, and I was like, I said it's kind of curious because Dak puts up gaudy numbers in the regular season. I
sure
was like, wonder what that would look like.
So you did the find it interesting.
I did. I did the find it interesting thing.
Tobias and stuff.
Caramel cookie. Still in the playoffs, huh?
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
2-2, I believe, against the Cavs. Yeah, it's probably going to Pistons next series.
Still in the playoffs.
He got the last laugh.
Yeah. Harden or Harris is moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, tough look on Daryl.
It's not great. It is not. Let's go to Rob in Overbrook. What's up, Rob?
What's up, guys? Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I was talking to Kyle, and you know what? Daryl Morey is not going anywhere because he is doing exactly what Josh Harris wants him to do. So you don't fire a man who's doing exactly what you tell him to do, especially if the fans in Philadelphia continue to support the team. That's the big problem.
Well, you're probably right on that. Assuming that that's what is the objective? Get under the luxury tax, compete enough, but don't win a championship. If that's what Harris wants, then sure.
Kind of felt like that.
Then he's doing a fine job. If that's the objective around here,
he's done a great job. And it's like the guy said, like here's the thing, Joe. And he, when I was in high school, the Philadelphia 76ers went 9-73. I went to about 25 home games, and that team. They would get smoked in the first half of every game. I mean, every game it was like they would lose them by 30 or 40 points. I saw them lose by 30 points to the Knicks with Walt Frazier. I saw them lose about 30 points with Seattle with Spencer Haywood. Portland came in with Sidney, which was a rookie, and he smoked them. They smoked them. But everybody smoked them. You know, the Lakers with Wilt. They smoked them. But that team had more competitive fire than the Sixers do now.
The nine-win team had more competitive fire than this team. I mean, this team did at least win a game 7 against Boston. I mean,
because here's the thing, Joe. They lost those 73 games. It was lack of talent. It was really never a lack of trying. And this team has a lot of talent, but they lose games from the lack of trying. And that's a big and that's sad. And that's really sad. I don't support the Sixers now. I would never go down there and spend my hard earned money watching these guys because I don't think that they bringing in playoff P and bringing in Joe
Captain Cancun.
You know, bringing in James Harden before
Cancun,
that.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's these guys are quitters, man. And I can't spend hard-earned money watching these guys, man. I would never do it. Now, getting back to Jalen, you know, there was a story a couple of years ago that he worked out with A.J. Brown and the other receiver.
Don't worry about it.
Devontae.
Yeah, Devontae. There was a story that they worked. They were working out, and they were somewhere down, somewhere working out. So I don't think this is the first time he's done that with receivers. But I it's like you said, Joe. The guy, he will embrace it now. But the story will be: will he be able to execute it when the season starts?
That's everything. And then also, Rob, good phone call. Once things don't go right, there's going to be ups and downs. Every team has them. You know, if the offense is sputtering for a half, I mean, Hugh, part of that story we heard a month ago was he would change plays, right? He would kind of do his own thing.
Yeah.
Do we do less of that now? Do we do none of that now? Do we do some of that now? I mean, that's...
Well, I think if that's the case, then, like I said, I feel like there's going to be... If Jalen does that, if he improvises as much as he's done in the past, they're probably going to call him out. If he's not running the offense the way that the offense is supposed to be ran.
Who's going to call him out?
Mannion. Going to call him out. I think you have no choice at that point. Here's the problem for me when you talk about these stories and these leaks and everything. It's always after the fact. You know, you sit up there in the press conferences and you hear that Jalen was doing this, that, and the third, right? But nobody can validate that during the course of the season. That happens after the fact.
But is it a good working relationship to call out a play? I mean, coaches don't typically call out players publicly.
I hear you, Joe, but there's a way if the offense – okay, so my question would be this. How are we going to know if the offense is not running the way it's supposed to run if nobody says anything?
Well, I mean, I think
– That's the situation that we're in. How do we know
– Well, they know.
Well, okay.
The players and the coaches
okay,
know.
Just like last year. Just as used last year for an example. We all know who the sacrificial lamb was when it comes to that offense.
Yeah, Petula.
And we all know what the stories were after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Kevin Petula, and I understand you say don't call anybody out, but if Kevin Petula would have sat there in the press conferences and he didn't toe the company line and say, hey, you know, it's not all on me, or if, hey, the quarterback needs to do that.
Wait. If he says it's not all on me, he'll get roasted here.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But that's why we're in the position we're in now, because nobody said that. So how are we going to know what the offense is going to look like if nobody says this is not the way the offense is supposed to be?
My guess is it will be people without their name attached to quotes.
Well, see, we can't do that. Well, we're done with that, because doesn't hunt.
We're not done with that.
Hold on. There's another
Nobody's
way.
Ever Hugh, done with
there
that.
There is another way. I mean, they could do everything behind closed doors. Team meeting. Mm-hmm. Put the play up and in front of everyone. Jalen, that's not where the ball goes.
Well, no, they'll probably do that first.
And that's, to me, that's the best way to do it, right? Then, like, just football stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, Joe, because there has been a conscious effort to besmirch, that's the word I'm going to use.
Yeah, but if Mannion gets up there after week one and says, why did you guys only score 7 points today? Well, the quarterback messed up every read.
Well, he ain't got to say it like that, but he could say.
How would he say it?
He'd say, okay, well, there were certain plays that were called that weren't ran correctly.
Oh, no.
And
no,
then,
no,
you know,
no.
You ask the quarterback.
This place, is, go well. This place is a bleep storm
no,
for a
no.
week.
I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so how are we going to know if Jalen's not doing this, that, or the third?
They won't pay him. They'll take him off the field at some point.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
I think we'll be able to piece that together.
We still don't know who really was the problem with this offense now.
I think we do. I think we do.
We don't know.
We have an idea. We just don't really want to say it.
No, I'm just saying that we don't.
I mean,
know.
The article AJ begging for months to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all points to something. Same thing.
I think the latest I've been seeing on Twitter is like, we still don't know why AJ actually wants out. We all know why AJ wants out.
No, we don't.
Guys, yes, we do.
Please.
We just don't want to address
it. Use your brains. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. Daryl Morey, should he be fired? Do you expect it to be? Both, yes, for me. I think he should be. I expect it to be. Jalen Hurts, do you expect a new Hurts this year? Good report from Jeremy Fowler. He's all in with the new offense. Where do you come down on Hurts, and what will be new and how new it will be this season? Plus, we're going to play a little detective on the other side, see what we could piece together about the NFL schedule based on what we now know, and we'll react to what we found out last night. The Eagles with a big matchup in Dallas late in the season. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tired of your lawn looking like the losing team? Sorry. It's about the third time I've done this. Step up your game with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Their custom turf looks real, feels real, and plays even better. No mowing, no mud, no stress. Contractors, landscapers, homeowners, buy their durable premium turf at one of their dozens of distributors or go directly pick up in 24 hours or get it delivered in just 2 to 3 days. Visit turftech.com. That's T-U-R-F-T-E-K. TurfTech, the yard you've always dreamed of.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.